During a visit to my two-year-old son, grandson in Kansas City, he ran up to me with a bag of snacks that he wanted me to open for him. So I opened it and I gave it to him, and he had this biggest smile on his face as he started eating, and then an idea occurred to him. And he set his little snack bag down on the couch, and he ran into the kitchen, and he came back with another one. And he said, "Here, Papa," and he gave it to me. And I was so proud. My two-year-old grandson was sharing. It was wonderful. I opened it up, and I took one of the snacks out, and I ate it and said, with a big smile on his face, on my face. But there was no smile on his face. In fact, his eyes got big, his jaw dropped, and he said, "Papa ate my snacks!" And then he burst into tears. And he threw himself onto the couch, and for the rest of the night, he would have nothing to do with me. He just pouted. No matter that there were more snacks in the kitchen or how many times I apologized to him, he was going to nurse that hurt until we left. And he did. He could have had so much fun. Instead, he pouted the whole evening. Now, we can kind of expect that from a two-year-old. But we have to admit that sometimes even we adults pout sometimes. We pout over misunderstandings or perceived slights or the fact that our friend is sitting on a beach in Florida and sending us pictures while we're stuck back here in Minnesota in January. We pout sometimes. Even people in the Bible pout. And the biggest pouter of all is Jonah. Now you remember his story, right? Jonah, the one with the fish. God sends Jonah to go to Nineveh to tell the people to repent from their evil ways. But Jonah instead runs the other direction. He hops a ship. He sails away. There's a large storm. The other crew members blame him. They toss him overboard. He's swallowed by a big fish who pukes him up on the land. And God says, "All right, Jonah, let's try this again. Go to Nineveh." And so he goes to Nineveh, and he preaches that if they don't repent, that they'll be destroyed. And that's how the story starts. And we know the beginning of the story, but do you know how the story ends? How the story of Jonah ends? Well, Jonah does go to Nineveh. He does preach, and the people listen to him. They actually listen to him, and they repent, and God forgives them. And Jonah is pissed. That's not what he wanted. He wanted God to smite them. He wanted fire and brimstone. He wanted them to be destroyed for all of their evil deeds. He didn't want God to forgive them. And so he goes outside the city, and he sits down and he watches to see if God might change his mind and smite the people after all. While he's there, he pouts, and he's feeling more and more sorry for himself. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be so angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who can't tell their right hand from the left, and also many animals? The people listen to him. Jonah is the most successful preacher of all time. 120,000 people come to repentance in just that 1 week. But instead of celebrating, he pouts. Instead of enjoying what he had, he wasted his time feeling sorry for himself. What would have happened if instead of pouting, Jonah would have praised? What if instead of feeling sorry for himself, he said, "Wow, God, you are so good. You are so good. You rescued me out of the sea. You gave me a second chance. You gave all these people a second chance. Saved 120,000 people. They listened to me, even though I was a half-hearted foreign preacher. They listened to me. Oh, God, you are amazing. Your love is beyond belief. Your compassion is astounding. You raised me up out of the ocean and set my feet on solid ground again. You are my fortress, my refuge, my strength, my savior." How would the ending have been different if instead of pouting, Jonah praised? Well, Jonah's story is over, but our story is not. And we still have that choice each day. Are we going to pout, or are we going to praise God? What are we going to do? Will we spend our time here this end of January pouting or praising? In the Bible, there's probably no greater example of someone who chose the route of praise than King David. Just think of all those psalms that David wrote that praise God. Or you can think of this song that David writes. It's recorded in the second book of Samuel in the 22nd chapter. It says, "David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, 'The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior from violent people. You saved me. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and you have saved me from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be my God, the rock, my savior." Unlike Jonah, David praises God. Now, I know that not all of us can write songs like David, and we may not be able to sing like an angel, but we can praise God. We can praise God by being a part of worship, whether it be online or in person. We can praise God by tuning on a praise song on the radio or listening to a song on our phone that lifts up God. We can praise God through singing in the shower or maybe even humming a hymn as we walk along. We too can praise instead of pouting. And even if we're not musically gifted, we could still use the words of songs of praise, like David's words from out of the scripture, or maybe the words of a modern song. we can use those words to offer our praise to God. Maybe even those words from 2 Samuel 22. The Lord lives, praise be my rock, exalted be my God, my rock, my Savior. When you're tempted to feel sorry for yourself and join Jonah in his little pity party, instead, praise God. And it'll not only lift up God, but it will lift up your spirits as well. Now, of course, songs aren't the only way that we can praise God. You know, when you want to praise maybe your son or your daughter for something they did, or you want to praise your friend for being such a good friend, you probably don't burst into song like it was some Disney musical. You probably just came right out and said, wow, that's a great job. Oh, what a beautiful picture. You know, you're the best friend somebody could have. We just use words. We just talk to them. And we can talk to God. We call it prayer. But prayer is really just talking to God. And when we do, we can tell God the ways that God has impacted our lives and the ways that we see God at work that cause wonder and awe. We can just praise God with the words that we have. We can say, God, I don't know what I'd do without you. And we do that all the time with friends and family and others. We say, you're the best. Oh, we love you. Oh, I'm so proud of you. You're so good. You know, maybe it's been a while since you've said that to your mom or dad or your son or daughter or your friend. But how long has it been since you said that to God? When was the last time in your prayers that instead of just making requests and giving up complaints, you praised? Try it. Try praising God in your prayers and see what a difference it makes. You know, even Jonah in his better days when he wasn't pouting was able to praise God in his prayers. And Jonah prayed to the Lord God, and he said, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Praise through prayer is another way that we can praise God instead of pouting. But you know, there's still one more way that we can praise. And, well, a praise song is directed towards God directly, and a prayer is, of course, directed towards God. We can also praise by directing that praise to others and saying how much God has blessed us. You know, it's sort of like, when you see somebody do something great or when you've had a good experience, you may not be able to talk to them directly, but you talk to others about it. Like the football game last weekend with the Packers and the Buccaneers. Did you see the game? Now, I'm not going to talk about that call on fourth down, but I do want to talk about Tom Brady. That old goat, 43 years old, the oldest person ever to go to the Super Bowl. And when he should be in retirement, there he is, leading his team to victory. He's gone to more Super Bowls than any other team has, except for his former Patriots team. And even with three interceptions, he was able to lead the team to victory last weekend over the Packers. He truly is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. We praise people like that, don't we? We talk about how good someone is, or something is. Maybe it's a TV show. Hey, did you see The Mandalorian? Man, it was a great show last night. Or did you ever try Pioneer Woman's brownie recipe? Knock You Naked Brownies, they're called, and they are to die for. And we talk about things like that. We praise not the person directly, but we praise others about them. And we can do that with God as well. We can let others know the praise that we have for God. We can share with them the wonders that we've experienced from the Lord. We praise other things all the time, so why not do it with God? And studies show that the more that we praise something to others, the more we enjoy that thing. Now, you think it'd be the other way around. The more that we enjoy something, the more that we praise it to others. But really, the way it often works is the more that we praise, the more that we enjoy that thing that we've experienced. Whether that be a meal, whether that be a football game, whether that be a worship service, or whether that be God. See, God isn't changed by our praise, but our praise of God changes us. Maybe that's why in the book of Revelation, when John is writing about his vision of heaven, and he talks about how the Lamb of God there in the midst of the throne is surrounded by the angels and all the company of heaven, and they're shouting forth praise. They're praising. Let me read you just one example of that. Fifth chapter of Revelation. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor, glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. I used to hear things like this and think, how boring. Is that really what heaven's going to be like? We're going to sit there and praise God all the time? Sounded awful. But when you think that the more that you praise something, the more that you enjoy it, the more that you're blessed by it, well, then maybe it does make sense. And maybe heaven truly is a place where we're always praising God and enjoying the Lord more and more and more. So whether it's on heaven or on earth, don't pout. Praise. Praise God. And if you're truly so angry this January that you can't think of anything else to praise God for, well, then there's always this one thing. Today is the last day of January. And so you have survived January 2021. Praise the Lord. We made it. Let's pray. Okay. Lord, we are so often like little children or like Jonah. When things don't go our way, even when they may go our way, we pout, we whine, we feel sorry for ourselves. Lord, help us to be more like David. Put a song of praise on our lips. Put words of praise in our thoughts. You are so good, so loving, so faithful. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen.